the second the bull ran past me on that first run, and I saw how big they were.
Yeah.
When I saw the fucking sea of people going towards me, instantly I was like, dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. Right. Dumbest thing.
So you're asking yourself, why is Dead Man's Cave so scary?
Yeah.
This is
how big are the bulls first?
Oh, the ears are like
show me. Stand up and show me.
I'm gonna say shoulder height.
Are about shoulder
height.
Yeah. Those are big ones. And this is their shoulders, and their necks are fucking there. So
going from there.
Sharp horns.
Damn. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. My name is Ari Shaffir. Today, on the podcast, what a fun story. So, I recorded this in Scotland, at Edinburgh. By the way, this intro is being recorded at the harbor in Reykjavik, Iceland. I'm taking you guys all over the world. Yesterday, I went to the Blue Lagoon. My friend Ari Eldjarn, who's a comedian from Iceland, that I met in Denmark a few years ago. Jesus, I travel. He picked me up from the airport, and he took me to fucking the Blue Lagoon. Has anybody ever been there? It's pretty cool. It's this giant, I guess like a hot spring. Apparently, it's like water runoff from a nuclear plant or something. I don't know. He explains it. Full of silica. It's like a giant outdoor hot tub, but giant. It's like a pool, outdoor hot pool. That was fun. Got us in for free. So as a Jew, he's not a Jew. He's a non-Jew, Ari. Just great. We sat out there for a while. The Blue Lagoon. Got free waters. He hooked it up with free sparkling waters in a bottle. I'm into the sparkling water. This flat water, it's for peasants. Oh, by the way, if you drink enough water, as I did, it should now be known as the Blue and Yellow Lagoon. Jesus Christ, sorry. On today's episode, three guys, Kai Humphries, Milo McCabe, and Daniel Sloss, three comedians. Two of whom are from Scotland, one of whom is from England, I believe. I think that's what it is. I'm not really sure about fucking Kai. He sounds like he's from Scotland, but I don't know. I know Daniel Sloss is from Edinburgh. So here's the deal. They went to Pamplona for the running of the bulls. You guys heard about that? You have, right? I've always been intrigued by it, but never gone. These guys went and they got into it. It's a short podcast, not even that short, like an hour long, but man, what a fun one, what a great story. So they told me all about Pamplona and the festival there. So Milo's been there like a bunch of times. He's like an old pro at running of the bulls. They're these like bull runners, these fucking, you know, not estrogen. What's the opposite of estrogen? The one that men have. Not stamina. What's it called when you can lift a car up off your baby? Adrenaline. He's an adrenaline chaser. Stupid ass. And so he goes a lot. And so these other guys went with him. It seems fun. I mean, it seems fun. So he kind of taught them how to do it. Is that Ari Eldjarn? It might be. I'm just waiting for Ari to show up so he can call me and we can go. I'm doing this when I have the opportunity. It's so hard to fucking do this when I'm traveling through Europe, through Iceland. By the way, my Oslo gig sold out. Iceland tonight, it's pretty much going to sell out. I think one out of every 1,000 people in the country of Iceland are coming to see my show. That is not an exaggeration. I think it's going to end up being one out of every 1,000 people in this whole country. I've heard about these fucking mushrooms. This will be out after, I guess, after I leave, so I won't be able to get them. But I heard the mushrooms in Iceland are the most powerful in the world. Anyway, so after this, I'm going to Bergen, Bergen, Norway, for one show. Then Denmark, Copenhagen, Denmark, for one show, and then Stockholm, Sweden, for one show. Followed by a weekend in Tampa. Followed by a weekend in Chicago at Zany's. Tampa's the Improv. All my dates are at AriTheGreat.com. And followed after that by one night in Denver. If you saw me in January, you shouldn't come again. It's going to be the same material. I'm just doing it because it's their 35th anniversary, and I wanted to help them celebrate by doing a show. But if you did come see me, just tell friends to come see me. But this is pretty much my special now. I mean, I've gotten it to the point where I'm going to... I have a concept that I'm going to do for this special. I guess you'll see it when it comes out. There's no reason to get into it, but it's going pretty well as I'm running it. Doing this the right way. I'm not just rushing through something. I'm really, really working through something. Really working every angle on it. This episode is brought to you by The Fuzzle, everybody. The Fuzzle, this is just a free ad. This has nothing to do with me. TheFuzzle.com, F-U-Z-Z-L-E. If you go there, it's, okay, you got small dogs. People have small dogs. You know how small dogs are assholes sometimes and they bite the fuck out of people? Yeah. So you got to muzzle them. The problem is muzzles look like your Frankenstein. They're black and they're fucking, it's mostly Chihuahuas, I think. Those are the problem dogs. They go nuts and they bare their teeth and you're like, I don't want to be scared of a Chihuahua. But at the same time, here I am being scared of a Chihuahua. You know? So the Fuzzle is a designer. It's like a looks good muzzle for the small dogs. They're like stylish. There's like super nice ones, like satin or something. They feel good for the dog, and they fucking look good. Apparently, I mean, apparently feel good for the dog. But yeah, why go out there making them look like a fucking dominatrix, scaring children? Have them go out there with some nice green, you know, mouthpiece. Also, by the way, Kai is in his contest to try to win a trip to America. Oh, also, if you don't understand their accents, I don't know what to tell you. It took me like 3 weeks to be able to figure out what these guys are saying. So, I'm not sure. Oh shit, somebody's coming. But if you want to help him win this trip to America, go to indie.com, indi.com/7. F like Frank, Z, B, B. He's in this contest to win a trip to America to do stand-up in America. So support him. Just do that. Go to indi.com/7FZBB. Watch his clip. Share it. It's just a two-minute stand-up clip. And like it, you know, whatever. Do all the stuff. Help him win this trip to America. It'd be cool if he comes to America. If you can't understand his accent, I mean, just listen carefully. It's a great story, but you got to fucking pay attention. Hi. Everyone always looks at me. I hate it when I do this fucking podcast and somewhere's public and everyone looks at me. I mean, I guess I am at the end of a fucking public dock. Anyway, all right, should we start the episode? I think we shall. And by the way, thank you guys for listening and tuning in and telling your friends about it. This podcast is available on Laughable app, iTunes, and everywhere. Oh, you got to get Laughable, by the way. What a great podcast app. Have you guys seen it yet? No association with them, but yeah, it's really fucking easy to use. That fucking iPhone app for podcasts is garbage. It's hot garbage. That Laughable app is fucking way better. And you could find other comics through there and other people's podcasts. They have this thing. Have you guys seen it? They have this thing where if you click, oh, let's say I have, I don't know, whoever. Who did I have last week? Well, Phil Wang, he didn't have a podcast. But like, let's say I have Big J Okerson on my podcast or Joey Diaz. So if I have Big J, you'll have a link to find Big J and his podcasts. So you can find out what the guy's doing, and then I think they might have dates and shit. I don't know exactly how it works, but it's just super fucking easy to use, and super helpful to finding new podcasts to listen to. Anyway, let's start the episode, ladies and gentlemen. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 270. Oh man, 276. I think. I'm going this whole trip to fucking Iceland today. My friend Ari Elchard is taking me this long trip up there. We're driving for like an hour and a half. We're probably gonna do a podcast about Iceland, actually. Do I have enough battery? Yes, I do. Episode 276, the quote-unquote running of the Bulls. You'll see why. You'll see why. Man, this is a good episode, you guys. If you can get past the accent, this is a fucking good episode. All right. And by the way, thank you guys very much for reaching out to all my podcast guests, saying good job. It makes them tell everybody else in the comedy community how much response they've gotten from this. And that makes other people go, oh, maybe I'll do Ari's podcast. It's fucking, I know you guys don't do it for that reason, but the fact that you do it ends up helping quite a lot. And it's cool. And I like the way it makes my, you know, the people who do the podcast feel good about themselves. So, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir-Skepasek, episode 276, the quote, running, unquote, of the Bulls with Kai Humphries, Daniel Sloss, and the bug chaser, what is it? Adrenaline chaser, Milo McCabe. Starts now. Enjoy. The bullfighter dies. Hooray, hooray. The bullfighter dies and nobody cried at her high highs. Nobody cried at her high highs. Because we all want the bull to survive.
Fucking Yanks, mate. The Yanks do. That's the fucking problem.
He's been live for
it's
a while.
It's just him. He comes here and he drinks the shittiest fucking, let's do shots. And I'm like, you're in the land of the most beautiful whiskey. Yeah. And you're doing fucking shots of Jack.
Oh, well, I accidentally held the whiskey in my mouth for about fucking 10 seconds or some shit. You know, and you can't swallow it and you're just like...
But he likes the hangovers so he can be miserable on the next day. He thrives
he
on misery.
He wants to be miserable, for sure. For sure. When I came here, I was wondering if people were going to like bully DeRosa because he's never been here before.
Oh, like 2 seconds?
Yeah, instantly. Everyone knows to just make fun of him. And
oh, because he's just such a fucking dweeb.
Yeah.
He's a dweeb.
He's a fucking dweeb. Yeah.
I think he like... It's also a symbiotic relationship.
He's
like
quite
he
an easy target. Like
he's got one of those personalities where you're like, I can tell that you were bullied through school, but I can't tell you why you haven't changed your personality to avoid that.
Yeah. Man, I haven't bullied him once. I've been feeling a bit mothering towards him. Like when he was at the party, I was making sure he always had his drink in his hand and
really?
Any candy he needed.
Because you feel bad for him.
I said to him, like, I've only seen you late in life. And, you know, I'm sure you go okay in front of a good crowd.
Yeah.
And he kind of like genuinely recoiled, and I'm like, oh come on, joking.
He's crazy.
He is crazy.
Fuck.
But lovely.
Depending on which night he wakes up, if he had a show that was good, he was like, I love this place. Fringe Festival is amazing. And then the next day, you have a show that's okay. Like, I want to live. I don't want to be here.
Oh, so he never said, I love Fringe. I love Edinburgh.
Bam! Fuck Bam. You, DeRosa.
So does anyone do that? Let the show sway the mood at the festival. Like,
oh, yeah.
I feel like my show time is my show time.
Yeah.
And then anything outside of that, I'm cool. Like
I can't detach. If I've had a tough show, it's going to hang with me till my next gig.
Oh, no, I detach.
No, I detach. I'll just be like, it's gone. I'm like, that was suck. I'll take it for half an hour.
I'll stew.
I'll be like, what do I got to do about that?
Okay. I'll look back on what...
This is the podcast, by the way.
Yeah, we'll get into it soon. But yeah, we're starting.
I'll look back on what I could take responsibility for, what I could have changed, what I could have done better.
Is it nothing? Is it always nothing?
No. It's always me. It's always you.
And he sits in front of his vision board. And
I sit in front of my vision board, and then I'll ask the universe for a good gig the next day.
A lot of times with me, it's the moon. It's where the moon is in the cycle. That's why I do bad.
Is it what? Is it when you have your period?
Me. It's the moon or politics.
It's where my cycle is.
Yeah, cycle.
The cycle
sure,
time
yeah.
of the month. The thing is, I'm an Aquarius, so like normally about Sundays, I get super sensitive to like gluten-free members of the audience.
So Danny did DMT, realized he didn't know as much as he thought he knew, got really uncomfortable, and now he's anti-hippie.
Yeah,
absolutely. No, not
yet. Yes.
What?
That's exactly what happened.
No, I've done DMT.
No, I know, and you realized that there was less you knew.
I know,
than
hold
you
on,
thought.
There's a difference. You can't blame DMT and say it's anti-hippie if he says he doesn't believe in star signs.
No,
I've done all the drugs.
No, what I'm saying,
I still don't believe in any god.
As soon as he did DMT, he was like, I'm not fucking with that again because that's changing my belief structures.
I
I'm not ready to have my belief structures changed yet.
I come out with way more questions and answers when I've done DMT, so I didn't need to delve back into it. I was like, I'll file that on something to do maybe a lot longer down the lane.
Yeah.
But it's not an experience where I was like, oh, I need another hit of that.
You have more questions. Not like Coke. Coke is like, that was great. Let's do more.
Yeah.
DMT's done with me, though. The last one was an apocalypse. And it was like, mate, you don't want to know anything else. Get out of here.
Yeah, I gotta do it more.
I love that you talk like that, like it. Like, yeah. I love that. It's such a great way of talking about it, because I don't
consider it.
I don't consider it to be it. I consider it to be a chemical reaction in my brain. Yep. But it does feel that's what it is. But what is that you're receiving. You feel like you're receiving data. Like, yeah. You're not the creator of the trip. Like, you're downloading it. Yeah. So when you say them, it does feel like you're getting it from elsewhere.
Yeah.
But it's not though, is it? It's from inside.
Oh, no, you
it
can't say
it. Feels like that. I do that with mushrooms, too. If mushrooms are too much, I go like, hey, I'd say this out loud. I'm like, hey, mushrooms, pull it back a little bit for me if you could. Yeah. And then it sort of comes back. But I know I'm not talking to actual mushrooms.
Yeah.
Now you're talking to your subconscious, aren't you?
Yeah,
your subconscious is a thing, but God and the universe is not.
Well, that's a long conversation we're never going
to
resolve.
I pray to Satan. And it's like, please help
me. You do not play Satan.
I didn't help a nun that one time. She was crossing the road. I intentionally walked past her and went to a Sainsbury's anyway. She help me out now. You owe me. Yeah.
I didn't molest all those kids you put right in front of me.
Yeah, all the molestations. I should have gone with that first.
They didn't do.
Yeah.
I don't have any superstitions at all to the point, like, I'd tempt fate and know it's not going to come. Like,
that's the secret, because you're manifesting the action. So you tempt fate, but you know it's not going to come, because you know it's not going to come. It's not going to come because your thoughts create your actions, create your universe.
So my thoughts are different to...
No, because you're like, I tempt fate, but I know it's not going to come.
So, like, we go on the flight.
Oh, fuck off, Joe DeRosa.
He is terrible.
You are not invited.
You're on camera, so.
We've already talked about you.
Anything you're saying is just blank noise.
We already talked about your late in life gig.
You talked about my late in life gig?
Yeah.
So, hey. He's not on the mic, so he's not going to pick up
anything. It'll just be silly.
Yeah.
So. Is there a purpose of this podcast?
What?
Is there a purpose of this podcast?
Yeah, we're going to talk about Pamplona.
Daniel likes structure.
Love it. Love it.
From his fucking academic father.
Children like boundaries. Children like boundaries.
All right, kinky.
You want to be
thrown. Wow.
Was that X-Men? And the guy was like talking to the Hulk, and he was like, you need to be ruled. You crave it. Humans.
Take it, you slap.
Yeah, X-Men.
Was it X-Men?
No, it's...
Avengers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got no knowledge of the Marvel or DC universe, so I'm just going to go straight back into the original subject.
Just the one he's made up inside of his head, though.
Which is all anyone ever does. You are a consequence of your thoughts and actions, etc.
All right. No more gotcha.
Pamplona.
Yeah.
Right, so
hold on. So let's start at when Kai and Sloss came in. You've been there for a while.
Okay, Milo. So I'd gone... I'd gone 2007, 2008, 2009, and then I had a great time, but realized my mortality. And also,
can I just interject? We've said Pamplona, just for the listeners that might not actually know what Pamplona is.
The running of the bulls.
The running of the bulls.
Spain.
But you told me it was more. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
So basically, I've done it a couple of years, but I got to the point where I quickly realized when you have a run. And it goes a certain way, but you don't feel the vibe that everyone else is feeling. You're like, oh, I've got to get closer to the danger. So you get a little bit closer to the danger. But the problem with that is every subsequent time you do it, you have to get to the point where you could potentially get fucked up. So I've done it a couple of years. I realized
like
that equation.
Sex.
No, hold on. Let's back up a little first.
Okay.
First, tell me about why this festival happens.
Right.
So what's going on elsewhere at the festival.
I'll get this. The festival is about 30,000 people turn up to Pamplona, 30,000 tourists turn up, and about 2,000 people run with the bulls. So there's an event every morning at like 8 a.m., and everyone runs down an 800-meter stretch, and there's about a dozen bulls and a dozen steers, which are like... Every morning for about 12 days.
Yeah.
And so this festival is revolving around these 2,000 people every day running with the bulls. But every evening, every afternoon, there's like 30,000 people dressed the same, all in white with red sashes.
All red sashes. Daffy Duck handkerchief.
Sash, red, just drinking like $2, 2 liter bottles of sangria.
Just all night.
Fireworks displays every night and proper Disneyland level fireworks displays. Yeah.
And then you wake up in the morning, and if you feel up to it, you fucking just go in between some buildings, they cordon it off, and then you stand there tense like for 45 minutes until they do their first firework, which means the gates have been open. The bullpen's been open, and about 10, 15 seconds later, the second one comes in, which means all the bulls have left the pen. And start running, you fucking idiots.
So, it's not about anything else other than the bulls?
It is a vibe. Like, when you're out there, you've got your tension, your anticipation, your nerves, plus there's 1,000 people with all of their tension, their anticipation, the nerves. You've never felt anything like it. You're in the street for an hour before it starts. So it's an hour.
You can't stop letting you in. Like, yeah.
You're in the street for an hour before?
Yeah.
And then so like, that's whoever's in is in?
Yeah, you've got to be in.
So there like people, a roulette table where like bets are in?
So there are people on balconies, like people hire out balconies so they can watch.
Climbing up fences, hanging off, just to watch.
Yeah,
just to watch.
So but you're an hour waiting for this thing to start.
You need a piss, there's nowhere to go.
You can't piss.
And everybody's like pulling their hammies and sort of jogging on the spot and getting tense for an hour.
And people start ducking under the fence and bailing.
Yeah, people start bailing.
You feel like you should bail.
People just start leaving? If you leave, can you come back in?
No, you're done. So what happened was, so we in 2012, 2012 at this Fringe, I met Danny for the first time.
Edinburgh Fringe, yeah.
This one, yeah. So I met Danny for the first time, met Kai, and we sort of had this little group where we sort of bonded, and then we got together and we're like, let's go on holiday somewhere. I hadn't been to Pamplona for 3 years, so I'm like, this is going to be amazing. It'll be a pre-Fringe blowout. We'll come. Everyone was up for it. You know, and we had about a group of about 8 or 9 of us who came out, and I knew the guy that organized it. I knew a lot of people.
Who else came?
There's the guys that you met through there called the Pamplona Posse.
The Pamplona Posse.
They're like
comics.
Hold on, wait. I think two of them were comics, but the rest of them were just like Brits who do it every year.
Well, actually, there's Ernest Hemingway was like a big advocate of the bull run of the festival in Pamplona. He wrote about it.
Really?
And it's actually one of his lineage is part of that group. So it's one of Hemingway's like fucking great grandson
or something. Yeah.
So
John Hemingway.
John Hemingway and his friends are the group that like actually took us under.
Really?
Yeah. So he's one that took us over.
I think he wrote a book called "The Sun Also Rises" about Pamplona.
Yeah, I think that sounds similar.
Also, there's another guy called Bill Hillman who's
Wild Bill.
Wild Bill. He's written a book about it as well.
Bill Hillman.
Wild Bill Hillman.
Yeah, he was the one that like on our first day there, like they take it down. So he shows you like the run from like here's the streets, here's the Dead Man's Curve. This is the bit that only the professionals do.
More about
here's
Dead Man's Curve later.
Here's the straight bit, which is good. If you run down here, eventually the you get into the arena. If you're one of like the first 300 to get through, you get into the arena, where it's like a fucking 10,000 seat arena sold out, and then they just release bulls amongst just you. So he's showing us all this sort of stuff. That's what you get.
Well, he's doing like a walkthrough.
Yeah, so he's walking us from there.
Like a caddy who takes our golfer, like.
And he's basically also.
When no balls are there.
He's giving you techniques about how to run from
during
where
the day,
and everything.
Showing us all the run, how to take the corners and stuff. And we're fucking, or at least I am, fucking 21, 2-year-old idiot. And I'm just like, yeah, but like, this it's not really that dangerous. Like, the horns aren't actually sharp. He's like, they're razor sharp. And I'm just like, no, but like, there's nobody's died in the bull run. Like, we've been going with the bull run for like 6 years. He was like, yeah. Nobody's died officially in the bull run. But I reckon if you search the newspaper, there's been a lot of bodies found outside the streets.
Oh, yeah, like suspicious deaths, like car crashes and shit.
Just because they want to
die. Oh, really? They write it up as.
Oh, to hide the fucking paper chase people died.
This is all rubbish.
No, hold on. This is just a guy called Wild Bill walking us down the street. Right? So, whether. I don't have to say allegedly.
No,
it was
all
a fucking
deaths
dude
are documented.
Telling us.
All deaths are documented.
That's what they do at Disneyland, by the way.
I've seen the police there.
Well, then is he an official from the fucking festival? Like, this is just a guy telling us. Like, we don't know if it's facts or not.
No, seriously,
you don't know if it's facts.
Everyone knows if someone's died. Like, it's a big thing.
What do you mean?
They make a big deal. They do a minute's silence. They all, if someone dies at the festival, they just honour the fuck out of him, basically. It's like the high, it's all very macho. It's all very testosterone-y. Blokes sort of fulfil their asshole potential up there as well because of all the chest beating, because it's such a masculine thing. Like, obviously,
it's pretty masculine,
you know. Like, I'm you know, you come out of that.
I don't remember feeling masculine while screaming like a fucking girl, you running away, crying, being like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done.
You come out of that pumped as fuck, you're beating your chest, you're, you know, it's 8 in the morning, you're hungover, but you're on top of the world for about an hour and a half. But we all
afterwards,
yeah, and then you really like.
So wait, you two. So you'd already been there.
I've been there a lot. Yeah.
So you two go into this like, fuck it, let's do it.
Yeah, a bunch of fucking older people I liked were like, we're gonna go there. I was outvoted. I didn't want to do this at any point. I wanted to go to fucking Spain and go to a fucking villa and have a beach holiday and just chill. Where I got voted like fucking 6 to 7, like, oh, we're going to Pamplona. I'm like, oh right, well I guess like I have to now. Otherwise,
it was his first ever lads' holiday.
Lance Holiday?
Lads.
Have you not come across lads? Just a boys weekend away.
Do you have any male friends?
Oh, we call it a butt fuckathon?
Butt fuckathon, yeah.
If you want to visualize it that way.
Yeah. We didn't take it that far.
That's how you want to take it. Lads.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But that was his first one, so he's quite nervous.
And you wanted to do it. So right away, were you like, I'm just going to go and watch? Or were you like, yeah, I'm doing this?
No, everyone was doing it.
Yeah, we're all doing it.
Everyone was doing it. So I took on the... We did it. We were there 3 days. The first run, I took them to a section of the course called Estafeta. Now, that's like the main straight. So it's a straight road that runs for quite a long time. And when you go on Estafeta... when I was talking to you about this last night, you're like, you can hide in doorways and stuff. Basically, the crowds are lined up, they split as the bulls come, but you can work your way so you're two people removed from the belt.
Hold on, back it up. Let's see how it's set off. Right. So there's bulls are behind a gate, right?
All right, so what happens is, there's bulls behind a gate, rocket goes off, door comes open.
But where are the people? So there's a gate closed.
It's like a 2 kilometer course.
And people are just all the way through the 2 kilometers. Some people are like as far away as they possibly can be.
Some of them are
in the front,
where Estafeta is. The one he's talking about, it's 400 meters from where the bulls get released in a straight line.
Wait, there's different courses?
No, one.
Different parts of the same course.
So the bulls come out every day on the same spot.
Yeah.
400 meters in a straight line. And then there's a 90 degree bend called Dead Man's Curve. That's where all of the viewers are watching, all the cameras are, because that's where the damage happens, right? And it bends 90 degrees and it goes 400 meters, which the last 100 meter stretch is Estafeta, which is what we did, right? Into the arena.
Yeah.
And if you get in the arena before the last ball, the door shut behind you and you get to run around the arena with the balls. Day one, Estafeta, back to Milo.
Are some people just standing like right by the gates of the arena and just like jump right in?
So they're
miles ahead of the bulls and they're just like, fuck it.
So here's
you've got to wait as well. Like
So what happens is there's a vertical, it's a 45 degree angle. The bulls run up. It's a 45 degree street. So they start, the door goes open. Everyone charges towards the bulls for about 3 seconds.
Assholes.
Yeah, the suicide run. That's running towards the bulls.
And then,
did you guys do that?
Nah.
And then everyone stops, starts running away.
Wait, hold on. So you run at the bulls and then...
Some do.
At what point do you go, oh, we're close enough, let's turn.
At the point where you see them start to accelerate, because they can run way faster.
Once they get up the 45 degrees.
So what tends to happen is the crowd separates about 30 or 40 feet in front of the bulls. Now, the experienced runners, the chasing the high thing I was talking about, what you want is you want to run, it's called on the horns, which is where you can keep up alongside a bull for a couple of seconds. You can maybe touch its back or something, and then you peel off because it's going too fast.
It'll pass you.
Yeah, and basically the crowd, there's no space, the crowd V's open. The crowd V's open as the bulls progress, as they see, right?
Because they look behind them and they see the bulls coming, let me move out of the way. The people start to move.
It's like a swarm mentality.
It comes in so many waves. Like, you can be so tempted by the onrush of people going by, because people start running before you and you're always told to wait. The thing you're always looking for is watch the cameras in the windows, right? When the cameras start moving, it means exactly where the bulls are. So
Cameras follow the bulls.
So if you find windows like 100 yards down from you, look at the cameras. And the second they start moving, the second they are facing each other, i.e. bulls are across from them, that's when you start running as fast as you fucking can.
So what happens is a rocket goes off. That signifies that the bulls are going to be let loose in a minute. A lot of very nervous people
take off,
start sprinting, get into the arena 10 minutes before everyone else.
Does people boo them? They should boo
as
them.
As fuck. Like
they
should boo them. It's whistling in Spain. Just whistling, like, you cowards.
The bulls haven't even gone yet, asshole. Yeah.
And they have to then. The middle finger.
They're not going to come out.
I'd be one of those guys for sure.
They're then in the arena and they're there. Like, you can't really, you can jump over the barrier, but you can't really go back out because people are starting to pour in. So once you're a pussy, that's it. You're done. But like the first run I took these guys on was Estafeta, where it's quite massed.
Yeah.
And I didn't really, because the previous run I'd done had been a Dead Man's Curve, I didn't get the same high, and I wanted to get that before I left.
The previous run you'd been on was Dead Man's Curve. I thought that was just part of the run.
Yeah, but you can't do the whole run.
Yeah, you never do the full run. Bulls are 2, 3, 4 times faster than you are.
Oh.
You got to pick a... There'll only be about 5 seconds when you are within touching distance of the bulls. Realistic.
Okay, and then they're
and
gone.
You just have to time it perfect.
And so you have to kind of like let them move past you?
Oh, yeah, people are... if someone falls down, they trample over you. Like, this is when I don't believe the no death thing. I'm like, I definitely stood on some necks. Like...
And at any point, you just jump off to the side and you're out.
Yeah. Well, no.
You can jump into...
You can try, but like it's all... Like
people will pull you up and shit. Like they say,
The biggest danger is people running into you or you
running into
people.
As you're about to jump
into
somebody knocks you and you just fall.
No, just when you start running. The biggest danger is people knocking into each other. So when I do it, I kind of help my... I always hold my arms, elbows out like that. So I've got a little sphere, so I'm on balance.
Yeah.
Because people will just bang into you. But the...
And everyone holds a newspaper as
Everyone holds a newspaper.
Why?
Because it distracts the bull.
Show the bull the daily headline. We're like, hey,
I don't care. I'm just catching up on some news.
We killed three of you yesterday. What's your score, you horny cam?
Doing the crossword.
Yeah. So
that's the University of Maryland when I went to college, university. Whenever they introduce a basketball team, when they introduce themselves, they would all go nuts. And when they introduce the other team, we'd all like open up the newspaper and pretend to read. Like, we can't be bothered with this team.
Yeah.
Is it like that?
Yeah, it's so much.
It's rolled up. It's just to have something, like, you know, if one of the bulls gets stray and it starts, like, running around, like, you'll get seasoned guys, like, getting the newspaper and using it to distract them and try and, like, lead it and steer it back onto the track.
Damn.
But, like, because, like, everyone just seems to carry them. Like, I had a newspaper and I didn't know what the fuck I would ever do with it. It's just, it seemed like a little bit of a tradition.
People just tend to throw it sometimes. They just... Sort of hurling.
Oh, man.
But the I said to the group, I was like, I didn't get the first. I'm gonna go from Dead Man's Curve on the last day. Now, when I asked the group,
this is the day before.
No, so the first day we did the sort of safe run, which was on Estafeta.
Way ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this time I said to the group,
you went back more than once.
What?
You went back more than once.
No. The runs every day. We were there 3 days.
We went twice in 3 days.
Oh, I assumed
it's a 12-day run.
Once.
No.
Yeah, that would have been wise.
I did the running of the bulls. I do the running of the bulls.
No, but this is what I'm talking about. You chase the light. You chase it.
Yeah.
So you're talking to people who've done like 100 and 150. Yeah. Like, people have done so many that you just, when you're like, I'll do my first one, they're like, all right, well, why would you just come to do just one?
Yeah.
You're here for 4 days. That's four in a row.
They've got a 50 badge medal, the Pamplona Posse, the Hemingway guys.
They what?
They've got like a 50 badge medal. So if you've done 50 runs, you've got like this, like, wow.
It's a real code of honor. I mean, it's the one place some guys are important. Do you know what I mean? Wow. One place every year.
And they've actually released a book, which is like stories from the bull run as well. I bought it while I was out there. It's a really interesting read.
Of just guys' accounts?
Yeah, from their posse.
And you know, there's so much bragging. There's so much, like, it's a real hack thing. It's like a comic talking about a great gig. Like, I had this great run today.
Tales, right? There's
it's all that bullshit. I got on the horns all right.
At one point, but I don't know what these tall tales are talking about.
Yeah, I rode one home.
Yeah, at one point, one of the bulls ran towards me, and I went, away, and he fucked off. Like,
he just got in his mind and be like,
no. It's just like, you know what? I'm with you.
There was,
I chased him back in one point.
I was telling you this last night, but you might not remember because you were off your box.
I was on acid pretty hard.
But there was an American guy, and when he got in the arena, he tried to wrestle the bull to the floor. Everyone started whistling. He didn't recognize that was a boo. Thought
he
was
to do the thing where he
tried to wrangle the bull.
So to put in context before you finish the story, the bulls that run are fucking humongous monsters, like fucking fictional shit, right?
Yeah.
But they run right through, and then when you get in the arena, they're really smaller bulls. So the fact that
take away the big bulls, bulls come in.
The smaller bulls come in. The big bulls wouldn't have been capable of wrestling, but the smaller bull, the American guy grabbed its horns.
Grab the horns. Everyone's whistling. He doesn't know that's a boo. Like, why would you?
So he
and then
he's in there. Yeah, he grabs the
horns.
He's
like, yeah.
And he's like, ah, they love me. And they're like, no, we hope you fucking die.
And then out of nowhere, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Spanish guys descend on him. Bang, bang,
you
bang,
got
bang,
knocked
bang,
the fuck out.
Punchy.
So, really?
Yeah, before the bull can get him, they are just kicking the shit out of him in the middle of this fucking thing while the bulls are going. Because
you
don't disrespect the bull.
The Riviera.
Yeah, there's a lot of tradition and honor and stuff. It was just one punch each. It was like, you dumb American, bang. You dumb American, bang.
Until he let go.
I got fucking
lumps. I mean, he let go long ago. Yeah. We just got clipped a couple of times.
Everyone
made a decision at once that they were going to clip him. Let's
go fuck him.
Bam, bam, bam.
I mean, 2 seconds before, he
was American.
You can tell.
Yeah.
Who else is going to do that?
He had the stripes and stars.
Oh, shit.
So on the third day, I decided I was going to go to Dead Man's Curve. And I asked the group, does anyone want to do Dead Man's Curve with me? Knowing that one person would say yes. And that one person was Kai.
Hi, guys.
So On the third
Hold
day.
Hold on, this podcast is now sponsored by the Milosevic party.
The Milanimal. Milan, the Milanimal.
You're a dickhead.
All right, cheers. This is Jaeger Bomb's mid podcast.
You guys, prove it.
Best night ever.
So basically, on the third day, I said to Kai,
thanks, Milan.
You come in a dead man's. You know, he's like, I'll fucking do it. So. We get there.
Do you ask everybody who wants to go Dead Man's Curve?
Yeah, and it was
Which
only
is way further back.
It's the dangerous part. Yeah.
Oh, come on, more. We're gonna bar.
We've just been fed another Jaeger bomb.
Come on, Jesus!
All my friends are doing this podcast right now, so we. I'm like,
none of us are your friends. None of us are your friends.
That's mean. I don't know why. That's true. Something like that.
Wait, we're having another Jaeger bomb.
We have one extra. Wait, one, two, three, four, five.
How come Milan never does it?
I'm really buzzing off the professionalism here.
Yeah.
Do you edit this, or is this just real candid?
That's true.
Oh, just fucking hit it.
Best night extra.
That was just straight Jaeger.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Why do you drink like a college kid, Joe?
So,
how much longer is the podcast? Because I have no
fuck off, Joe.
With, guys.
You're making it last longer. What you're saying is not on.
This is real stalling it.
And annoying.
It's not on at all.
No, what you're saying is not on.
Stop it. Stop it.
We'll be 15 minutes. Whiny little prick.
Is nobody talking to you about you?
It's all right. Sure.
All right. Let's keep going. Alex, you hang out with DeRosa.
So, Kai agreed.
No, we're good. Yeah.
So, Kai agreed to come to Dead Man's Cave.
Wait, you asked Sloss also?
He wasn't up for it.
The whole team.
No.
There was no thought on your part of like, let's do it?
No, because the second the bull ran past me on that first run, and I saw how big they were,
yeah.
When I saw the fucking sea of people going towards me, instantly I was like, dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. Right. Dumbest thing.
So you're asking yourself, why is Dead Man's Cave so scary?
Yeah.
This is
how big are the bulls first?
Oh, the spears are like
show me. Stand up and show me.
I'm going to say shoulder height.
Shoulder
height?
Yeah. So those are big ones. And this is their shoulders, and their necks are fucking there. So
going from there.
Sharp horns.
Damn.
And then the ones in the arena are probably about
waist height, maybe? A bit above waist? Rib height.
Enough to gore you at any angle safely.
What you have to do, if you want to get a place at Dead Man's Curve and you don't want to have to get there, people have apartments that open out onto the streets.
Yeah.
So within the barriers. So you have to go to someone's flat at 6 a.m. So I brought Kyle along.
Ooh, how do you know these people?
Because
the Hemingway guys.
The Hemingway
guys. The Pamplona
posse. They found the location. Yeah. They found the apartment.
They own the location.
They've got the apartments. So we go in.
Right on Dead Man's Curve. That's a 90 degree angle.
You open the door.
They rent those places specifically.
Open the door, you're on Dead Man's Curve. So Kai comes in, and it's all the hardcore runners there.
Yeah.
And he sees how tense they are.
They're full posse and even there.
You said the night before, you were like, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, that don't back down to much.
That's true.
Yeah, that's generally like
Scotland.
The first one was.
I knew he would.
Yeah, I was. There was no way. I remember. I vividly remember to this day the fucking fear I felt. I've been like, don't get me wrong. The thrill afterwards, that high afterwards, second to none. But that for me doesn't outweigh the dumbest thing I've ever done in my fucking life. This is so stupid. What the fuck am I doing with my fucking life? Jesus Christ, these things are massive. People are going to trample me. Why would they not trample me?
Yeah.
I'm tiny. Fuck all of this. They're like, do it again. I'm like, I mean, sure, but I'm not doubling down like a fucking idiot.
You're not going back. You'll just do it again.
I'm not being like, let's turn this shit up to 11 for night.
Did you jump the barrier the first time?
No. We
cuddled in a doorway.
Yeah.
Did you let him pass you?
Kai fell over on his first run and got helped up.
Probably fell over.
Oh, God.
I remember, so Kai.
That's the first one or the second run?
First run.
No.
When you were way ahead.
We'll flash forward. Both runs I fell over. Yeah. A flashback.
Spoiler alert.
So first run he falls over and we're sort of together, but they're just like, worst thing you can do, run back and help someone else. It's literally,
do you know that
if you fall down, you gotta ball up. If you try to move, they'll gore you. If you just act as a fucking obstacle in the road, they'll naturally jump over you.
But you know, like fight or flight instincts?
Yeah.
Well, Kai never flights, so I wasn't used to it. So as soon as he started running, his body was getting mixed messages. And he just fell over.
Yeah, and I couldn't turn around and fight them. That would just be silly.
Did you jump the barrier?
No.
How big is the fucking
doorway. If I wanted to hide in a doorway, how big
like
is
you
it?
Get pushed
oh,
out.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah. Like, two people
suppose
wide,
there isn't a doorway there. Like, imagine just wedging yourself against the wall and just letting them just broom, swarm past.
And someone else is like, move, move, I want in the doorway.
Yeah, yeah, you know, in. Yeah. No, no, you, but you're also you jammed in by, you know, the V that comes out. It squashes
no,
everyone
no,
in. So
there's
four
no
dead. People.
There's no base. Like, you might get lucky and be like, oh, there's a place I can jump over. But realistically,
yeah, high walls.
About one, like, maybe 10% of people that try for the exit succeed in the exit.
Yeah. You just but there's gotta, so many people crushing against you that, you know, if you're near a wall, you're going to have three or four people in between you and the bulls anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it sort of V's out. But on this day, I've never seen Kai as quiet as when he looked around the room and saw all these runners who'd done it shitloads.
This is Dead Man Curves Day.
Yeah. Dead Man Curves Day.
Runners with scars.
Runners with scars. Like, he just looked around. I've never seen him so quiet, and he just didn't say anything. We were just stood on this balcony for about 45 minutes. And it was all sinking in, and I don't know, what were you thinking at that point?
Well, yeah. So to talk you through why Dead Man Curve is scary, right, is you know how I said it comes 400 metres, the bulls are running, yeah. Bends 90 degrees. So you stand with your back to the wall, so you know where the bulls come out, the left wall? You're 400 metres down from that, back to the wall, facing the bend. So you can see straight down the next 400 metres across the bend.
You can see both ways. You can see that way
yeah,
and that
yeah.
way.
So if I look right, I can see where the bulls are coming from. If I look directly forward, I can see where I'm going. So what you got to do is wait for the bulls to get near. So you watch the cameras. Like Daniel mentioned, the cameras turn. Yeah. As soon as they start turning, you know the bulls are coming. Run across them. So run in front of the bulls, cut the corner off on the inside.
Yeah.
So when the bulls overtake, they go wide on the outside.
Wait.
Let me explain.
Wait, hold on. Line it up like this.
I think I'm explaining it pretty well.
No, yeah, yeah, no, you are.
The
yeah,
podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, no, this is actually good. We have a lot of glasses.
I'll make the diagram.
Okay. We got a lot of glasses here.
Hold on. You're making a diagram on a podcast. Using Jaeger glasses.
So there's a guy who...
Yeah, this is yeah. Bulls are right. Sorry. So basically, it's just like a very shit, rudimentally done S shape.
Oh.
Bulls are down here, right? This is Dead Man's Curve. Oh, this is Ace to Feta up.
Wait. This is Dead Man's Curve. They start
so
here.
Bulls are released here. Okay. Way back here. They run.
Boom, boom.
This is Dead Man's Curve. So, and this is Ace to Feta, and then there's the arena they go into down there. So if you're on Dead Man's Curve,
you're standing.
They're coming in there, going all the way around this. Dead Man's Curve is having your shoulder here, watching them run from there, running straight across. So the bulls then go behind you.
The barrier.
So you come from here, go that way, so they go around you.
Milo, I think you're looking at a different angle than Daniel.
From here to there.
Do you remember the fight that just came crisscross?
Doing a diagram is being so dreadful.
Ari, let me just explain.
Yeah.
So if you could just think of a right angle.
Show me the diagram.
Okay. It's like this.
Thing.
Look, it's like this. So the bulls come down here.
Yeah.
They smash into there.
Smashing on 90 degrees.
At this
curve.
Point.
What's there? Man, this diagram is the worst.
No,
you've got
no,
so
no,
many
no.
just
listen,
random Jaeger bombs.
Listen,
man, you can still listen.
Here.
You can still listen, but what the fuck is this? Right, move the glasses.
Yeah.
Right, move the glasses. Right, that's a wall, right?
Yeah.
So you're coming down the wall there, right? And then they'll bend 90 degrees. So this wall carries on down here, but bends 90 degrees down there.
Yeah.
So when the bulls come down, you've got to cut across. So there's a wall there.
Yeah.
Cut across. Cut the corner off. The bulls will overtake you
and
down here,
pass you
and they'll pass
you
behind you. So you run alongside them.
But
so
what
you
happens?
To,
is
you have to get in front of them.
Okay.
They crash into the
and
wall.
Do people like not get across them?
No,
fast
no, no.
Enough?
What
this guy.
Story is they,
this guy didn't get fast.
They cross. They bang into the wall. They bang into the wall. At which point they have to start again speed wise. So if they're banging into what? Say the wall's here.
Yeah.
They bang into the wall there. Kai and I were there. So at that point, as they're banging into the wall, we cut across like that. So they have to start accelerating. So you get the perfect chance on Dead Man's Curve. You get the perfect chance to get on the horns, which is what every bull runner wants.
To be on the horns.
On the
running alongside them.
Yeah.
So hold on, you were a bull runner. Did you want that?
No. I wanted it all to be over and be smoking weed and drink.
But
I was just fucking spread. I wanted to be fucking smoking joints and...
Mm-hmm. With so the glasses diagram and everything.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you get the thing?
Wait, does anybody do this high?
Loads of people.
Does anybody do this on mushrooms?
Oh, no. If the police see anyone who looks too fucked... They look at the crowd, they pull them straight out.
They could just pull you out. Yeah. There's no questions asked. If they look at you...
And you're drunk?
If you're there and you just look at you, even if you're not drunk, even if you're not high, if they look at you and go, fuck that cunt, you're out of there.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
So you've also got the added element of trying to look sober.
And also because the person...
Hello, just nothing going on here?
Yeah, regardless of all the caduceus moral things in it, they are... the city love that festival and they want it to keep going. So they are, the police are genuinely like, we don't want this to be taken away from us. So our genuine safe, our concern is your actual safety, because
it brings a lot of money.
It brings so much people to our city. So we'd rather, it's in our interest.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is why, by the way, just so you know, this is why hookers in Tijuana, Mexico, are safe, because they make sure to test them every day. Because once people start getting diseases, tourism goes down. So like, fuck the hookers. Let's make sure the fucking white people are safe.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So I'm still on Dead Man's Curve with Milo. They go, did you do Estafeta again? Or did you bail?
Yeah, he did Estafeta.
So they were back in Estafeta. They won the baby slobs. And then Gus,
don't get sidetracked.
Do you remember the six count?
Yeah, count to six.
The camera turns around, you count to six because the camera turns around in advance. So the camera turns around, he told us, as soon as we see the camera move 45 degrees, count to six and then we go.
Yeah, so run after six. So the camera turns. So you watch the camera's still.
Cameras are on the bulls.
The firework goes off, the camera ain't moving. The second firework goes up, everyone starts shouting, hold, hold, hold. Some people are running anyway.
People are shouting it like
people
fucking,
are shouting like, yeah, like fucking 300 Spartans.
Yes. Right. Hold. Right. Hold.
Yeah. Yeah,
really? People are yelling?
Yeah. People are yelling, hold. Right?
So the and other people are like, no, fuck hold, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Other people like going off. Yeah.
Well, not Dead Man's Curve. You tend to get the sort of...
Nah, one or two were flaking away. Yeah. And because one or two people started running, I was like, fuck, I've got to run, man. People are shouting, hold. I was like, I've got to hold, man. People are running. I'm like, I've got to run. And I was so torn. Then the camera started turning. And my first thought was, do you go on six or after six? And then I'm watching freaking that, and I'm like, has anybody started counting yet? I hadn't started counting. The camera's moving. I just saw Milo run, and I was like, thank fucking God someone was counting. So Milo ran. I ran immediately on his heel, and then halfway across the curve, I fell like a motherfucker. Didn't trip on my laces. I wasn't pushed. My fucking knees went. Like, you know, one
you
of them.
You just got, like, jelly,
you know,
leg?
You know, one of them dreams where, like, fucking monsters are chasing you and you can't run away.
Yeah.
It was like that, except I wasn't dreaming and the monsters were real. I fucking fell.
How many steps did you get?
Fucking
two.
Two steps?
Yeah.
Hold on. You're like, one gone down.
So, I started.
So, halfway across the road. Halfway across
this
the road.
This is on Dead Man's Curve.
On Dead Man's Curve, right? So Daniel mentioned before, Gus is the guy who was teaching us in Wild Belt, and Gus, they taught us that if you go down, you stay down, because the hooves might kill you, but the horns will kill you. So if you get up, you get the horns. If you stay down, you get the hooves, right? So I
the hooves might get you in the arm, and you might break an arm, but like
So
there's from my perspective at this point, I've set up at the right time. As I'm getting into my stride, I've had a glance right. I've seen Kai start to stack it, and time slowed down because I was like, if I move across and help him, I'm causing the biggest fuck up ever. Like, if
anyone
keep
stopped,
going,
we were dead.
He can't help you.
No.
He can't help him.
No, if I'd have moved to help him, that would have stopped the bulls. When you stop the bulls are stopped. They look around and go,
chase
because,
a guy.
So they have these steers in front of them, right? They follow the steers. However, if they're stopped, the bulls will stop and go, I'm going to fuck up everyone. So if someone's falling over and you walk into the path, try and help them up, you're actually putting everyone in danger.
They'll just start ramming people?
They just start ramming people.
Because they're not running, they're just like looking for people.
I take off.
Targeting. That's why if you fall down on the ground, you have to make a ball shape. Because the second you move, they'll attack. If you stay there and act as an obstacle.
They think you're an obstacle. They don't know you're a person. They think you're like a boulder.
So as soon as I see him go down, I have to make the split decision. And I'm like... I've just got to go fucking bang through. So I banged off, and as I was going, my last image was him hitting the deck.
Down. No idea what happened to him. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
People have said this. I mean, I haven't been in this festival that long. People have said that, Milo, that you never really cared about Kai that much.
Yeah. Well, this is proof. I mean, this is...
That. Yeah, you yeah. You like, he says he only had a fraction of a second to make the decision, but he needs way less of that fraction of a second.
It's like,
it was made so, I mean, the percentage-wise, it was like only 1% did he ever be like, oh, no, fuck him.
Now,
like,
I've mentioned Dead Man's Curve is where all of the cameras were and all the journalists were. I mean, there's a smug look on his face on every single photo.
You're in every photo count, because they take so many photos. In every photo, it's always Milo looking ahead. At no point do you ever see him nervously looking back over his shoulder for
Kai. Where's my friend?
Where's the guy I dragged out out here?
Yeah, there was no like nothing. Look back. There was no look back. There was no glance through the eyeball.
I was like, oh, he's fucked. But then I pulled in and suddenly I had all this space around me and I'm sprinting as fast as I can. I'm like, why have I got space?
The Kai space.
I've got like so much space. Why have I got so much space? And then I realized the reason I've got so much space is because I am the last line now behind the bulls. The six count has worked perfectly. I am now there. And so I'm still sprinting. And then I start to hear cowbells, which is the steers. I veer off to the right and the bulls literally a millisecond later come through. And that's why I'm never doing this run again, because I feel like I've had the best run I could possibly have and I'm never going to top that and I'm done.
I'm never doing it again because I fucking rationally
looked at the situation. But anyway, wait,
hold on first. Tell me about the sweet spot.
The sweet spot you were talking about. So there's a point where the crowd are in front of you starting to V off. Yeah. Like they're peeling away like this. So they're all, a lot of them are moving towards the sides. Some of them are running straight ahead. But they're looking, going, they're too close, I'm going to move to the side. As that space opens up in front of you, you can start sprinting in that space. And that's when you can get on the horns. That's when you can get alongside the bulls or slightly in front. Ideally, slightly in front, then alongside, and then they pass you.
So you see the bulls coming, and you see them right behind you, and then you move off to the right a little bit, let them come between two bulls.
And then you're alongside the horn, and that's the ideal.
How many bulls are there?
There's like six bulls and about six steers.
So 12 altogether.
Yeah. Wow. So basically,
sorry to interrupt again. You're getting this from the perspective of like guy who this was his second trip, and then obviously guy who, in hindsight of the story, just did something balls out. Like both, like experience, bold courage. As a normal
coward,
normal coward. No, a rational human being. I cannot tell you how stupid you feel. When that steer, and you realize you're as tall as this fucker, and maybe a tenth of the weight.
Maybe what?
A tenth of the weight. Maybe.
About 700.
Minimum.
Yeah. Bare minimum, yeah. So this thing is the same height, size as you, and you weigh fucking less than 10% of what it weighs. And when it's beside you and it's running, and you can feel the ground physically shake as you go, this is stupid. Like the thrill afterwards, amazing. I'm not taking it. Yeah. But the whole time, the only thing I write, I was like, dumb cunt deserves to die. Like, this is so dumb.
Was any part of you, like, as soon as, like, the bulls are gone, just go, I'm jumping out now?
No. Oh. No. I was just, we've been walked through it too much.
Yeah. Dead Man's Curve, before the rockets went off and we're stood there, when we're running. There was every fiber in my being telling me to just duck under the fence, climb over the fence, just get the fuck out of there.
That's not you, is it?
For like 15 minutes. But my overriding emotion was, to do that you have to do something. All you have to do the run is do nothing. And I just stood there and done nothing until the fairway
just
went
hell.
I've honestly never seen you like that before.
How white was he?
He's white as fuck anyway, but like whiter than that. He was like a ghost.
Sorry, have we got to the bit with what happened?
Where I fell over, and we got it from Milo's perspective, because he wanted to duck out of why he left me for dead.
You saw him behind for the dead. You're like, well, that's it for Kai. Right, it was good friendship.
One last bit. I keep going into the arena, and I find everyone else.
Very quickly, this is the perfect way to hear this, right? Let him do his version, then let him do this, because these are the two in-depth analyses of the full thing. Third perspective should be mine for someone who just got in there ages ago and then
was fun.
And then I was further down.
Where are you guys?
I get in, couldn't see my little camera. Right. So yeah.
You guys coming still?
I make it into the arena and I find, like, on this holiday as well, Kai's got a couple of mates from home. And I'm sort of buzzing. I've had the best run of my life and I don't give a fuck about Kai. Well, I do, but I'm like, oh, and then suddenly I go, oh shit, Kai. And then his mates are like, where's Kai? Because they knew he'd done Dead Man's Curve with me. And I was like, he fell over.
You remember he fell.
He fell over. And I suddenly remembered. And his mates, it was Broz. Broz just was like, oh, like devastating.
Oh,
like,
man.
Immediately.
I was masturbating.
So on this run, right? So Milo darts off. I dart after Milo. I fell.
You waited for him to go?
No, because I remember I was counting the camera and I forgot to count and I was like on six to after six. And then Milo just fucking runs and I just sprint. Well, he's been counting. And I ran after him and then fell. And then the instant gut reaction was curl up in a ball, don't get up.
What happened to your legs?
Man,
fight or flight?
Legs.
He never flights.
Did you trip?
Dude, there's no logical explanation to why the fuck I went jelly, but it happened 2 days running.
There is a logical explanation.
This is a man who skirts away from...
Ari, this is a guy who
I
never...
I feel like Kai would get into fights.
No, Ari, this is a guy...
He would come back if someone got into a fight. He'd be like, let me smash a bottle.
Oh, yeah. So this is it. It's fight or flight. He should be doing flight, but he's not used to it. And the result is it's a contradiction, so he falls over.
So however the fuck I fell over, I found myself, right, fucking shoulders and knees hitting the cobbles, like hard, right? And then I just, like, I had the option, stay down or get up. And I'd been drilled to stay down. And as I stayed down, I contemplated that this is the end. I was like, I'm dead now. There's a fucking dozen balls and a dozen stairs, like 6 seconds behind me.
Jesus. You and know you can't get up.
I can't get up because of the horns.
Yeah. You trusted the training? I get up the horns. Remember the training of, like, stay down?
Also, getting up sounded like it sucked too. Remember, all I had to do was do nothing, right? So I just did nothing and like that. Like for like that length of time. The balls were gone. And I was like, am I still alive? Like, my first thought was, am I still alive? And then it's that cortigo ergo sum. If I think, therefore I am, I'm thinking I'm alive. I got up, right? The balls had gone. And I have never been happier in my whole entire fucking life.
How long did you stay down for? After they pass, how long did you stay down for?
Let's do this again. And that was the hooves.
And then you stood up, or did you just stay down there after that?
A little bit of silence, and then I got up. In fact, I say I got up. In hindsight, I felt like I got up. My story would tell like I got it up. I saw the CCTV footage.
You saw what?
CCTV footage. Yeah. I got dragged up by my arm by another person.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and let's leave that.
Do you know the next bit of that CCTV footage? A Spanish guy came over to boot him up the arse for being an idiot tourist.
Yeah, and then somebody got kid.
Right? And then somebody ran across and took the boot up the arse. It was like he had a force field round.
Yeah. I'll send you the footage. I'll try and explain this a little bit more. Right? So one man grabbed me up and got me out back in the game. Right? So I stood up and you can see me breathing till my cheeks are puffing out like a puffer fish.
Jesus Christ.
So, and as I'm puffing, right, this guy comes up to kick me. You can see him posture, raise a leg, twist his body, go to throw a kick, and just as he's about to kick me in the ass, another guy runs behind me, running away still, and takes the kick. So not only did the balls fail to hit us, the guy kicking my ass kicked another guy's ass.
So the reason we got to the CCTV, so you've heard it from there, where he runs ahead, and then Kai goes to this whole thing. Meanwhile, outside of this chaos, I'm down with fucking Mayonnaise Tafeta, running down the same street we've done, into the arena. We're just me, Matty, me on me. We're like, oh, we've done this run. We're on the arena. Bull gets released. Can't see Milo. Can't see Kai. So it's just the four of us. We're like, oh, God, I hope the guy's made it. But we sort of stand around in the arena for a bit more when the bulls are being released. Looking around, can't see Kai or Milo anywhere. Sort of jump out at some point, go outside, and it's fucking two of them. And Kai goes, you're never going to believe what happened. Milo goes, I had a great run. I had a good run. Milo's glistening with sweat. At one point, I got to touch one of the bulls a bit, like on the back, just as it ran past. I mean, I had a great time. I had exactly the same run I had the 2 days before. It was great. Meanwhile, they're like, you won't believe what happened to us. And I'm like, well, I absolutely won't. We all go get some food, we all decompress, but we're all just too wired up. He comes out of the fucking sandwich shop and goes, I've just been on the news. And we're like, what? And he goes, I've literally watched the replays of the thing. I'm on news. And I'm like, no, you were absolutely not. Bullshit. I'm calling this right now. You're a bullshit fucking liar.
Of course, sounds like a tall tale.
Yeah, because it's all tale. Because he's like, because he fell down. Because when he says, I fell down at the start, I'm like, oh, yeah, well, I'd make up any story after that as well. because you fell down like a bitch for the second time. Like, there's no way this story ends well.
Yeah.
And then, sure enough, we go for drinks. You're telling the story the whole time. Milo's telling his side of the story.
I look like a braggart. I look like I was lying about how close I got.
And then eventually we all go down to the pool and have a little fucking siesta. And him and Milo are so convinced of what happened, they go off and decide to
We've just been bought another Jaeger bomb.
What?
They go to hunt the photos. So
the journalists put the photos up in the shop windows.
The photos, wait, say it again.
There's cameras all along the course. Tourists want to get pictures of themselves.
Imagine the most brutal version of the run. Yeah, yeah. So imagine the most brutal version of fucking the Disney like Hollywood rides, sorry, the Disney World rides.
Any theme park ride where they take your photo snapshots.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
There's photographers everywhere. So when you finish
these
the run...
These are like AP photographers?
Like yeah, these
you,
are just...
You got to do Where's Wally with your own fucking face. You got to remember
where you are. If you've got a picture of you looking matchy in front of a bill, you're going to want it. You know what I mean? You're going to want that for your Facebook.
And so they sell that shit.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That makes sense.
So they go off because they're so convinced about this fucking thing to happen.
They go looking for the photos?
Yeah. Which,
and like, you're like, no way. You're not going to find anything because you're lying.
They display all the photos on these boards so you can go
there's
and like
no
see
way,
where you
there's
were.
There's no way it's ever going to happen. We fucking sit down. They go away for, and like 3 hours we're just smoking weed, sitting by the fucking pool. Eventually they come back, biggest grins on their face. Yeah. We have no idea what's happened, right? And we're like, did you get photos? And he goes... I'd bought
he's, all of them.
Yeah. So he comes out and just bought them. And when you see the photos, and we'll send you the fucking link, Kai is literally on like at least
an
seven
inch.
Of the bulls directly. There's a photo which made it to the
you
front.
You have these photos.
I've got the photos. So there's right. I had a bruise on my hip that I couldn't explain. Oh, I had one bruise on my hip that I couldn't explain at all. Right.
Yeah.
The photo was the black bull on my left was hitting me with its right horn, right, and the bruise on my hip is the direct correlation from the bull nudging the fuck out of me with its right horn
on the
horn.
Side of his horn.
On the
yeah,
side
yeah.
of its
and
horn.
And that the reason we know that photo exists is because it was front page of the fucking news. Newspaper.
Spanish nationals. The Spanish national newspapers was me getting horned off the ball.
Oh.
And me with this tiny bruise. And them guys going, ah, oh, fuck you. You didn't get anywhere near them. You fell over like a dick. And I was like, I'm on the front page of the newspaper, dog.
So this picture here is where you can see where I am in front
First of all,
the
ball. You gotta send me this picture. I'm gonna put all these on the website.
Okay.
Ari
so you see where I am in front of the ball, right?
Wait, where are you? Oh, there with their fucking red bandana.
I'm right there.
You're Daffy Duck number one.
So I'm there.
Why do they have to wear the dumb red bandana? All right,
look who that is.
Step aside. Look at the bull right in
look
there.
Look at who that is.
There's Kai on the ground. On the ground. Right in front of the bull.
Yo, there's a newspaper.
Oh, my God.
So, like,
there's
how close
seven of them right behind you.
Yeah. So when we
said... You stole your newspaper. You stole your newspaper in your hand. You didn't let go of your newspaper. That horn, that's the horn that bruised you.
Yeah, I got a bruise on my left hip.
He went sideways on you.
Yeah.
Dude, an inch... No, maybe a foot back.
If you look at that,
I'm dead.
Right? That is nudging him right. How the fuck does he not get hit by any of them?
Into the white one.
How does he not get hit by any of them? It looks almost impossible.
What's the headline say?
Speed without horns.
Yes. Yeah, that's me.
Exactly
cause I look, yeah, because I look like I'm starting, like you're seeing bones. I'm in the position like I'm doing the 100 meter sprint. So he's like speed without horns.
Yeah.
So I'm postured.
It looks like a sprint start.
I'm postured like I'm doing a sprint start, like a 100 meter sprint.
Here we go.
I don't have any horns.
So here's
what? That's the headline.
Speed without horns.
Right, I don't know. Here's the photos you've got there. So.
Wow.
This is we have.
Oh my God! Right. Oh my God!
Literally on the floor between two bulls. Right?
Wait, can you hold this to my mouth, please, so I can hold the iPad?
Yeah.
Cheers, dog.
You got it.
So, wait.
Look
hold
at
on.
That. He's almost
Let's
down
go
here.
From the beginning. All right, so here we go. Crouch down. That's the one that just nudged me. That's the one that's about
dude,
to
dude, you're not even crouched all the way down. You're fucking hunched up.
Yeah, all you have to do is do nothing. No, hold on, now I'm down.
Oh my God! That's in between your leg and your body.
Yeah.
You're fucking dying,
there's
man.
Me there. There's Milo. Look at Milo. Doesn't give
not
a
fuck. Looking back.
Doesn't
not
give a
back.
Fuck. Look at this. It's outside of Burger King. Oh, look at this.
You could have died, man.
That's before
oh my
I
God. One, two, three, four, five, six in the picture coming right at you.
Hold on, this is
look
one
at it. Looks like a shot out.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Dude, this one.
My.
You are that one. Dude, that one's hoof is right on your head.
Literally there are seven.
It's wow. on your head.
Alright, look at the one behind it.
Wow.
Look at this one.
Where are you there? Oh my God. Ass. It's like he's shitting you out. And look at all these fucking
this,
pussies.
This
off
guy,
to the side.
Wow. This guy here, that's the guy that gave me the advice. He
give
gave me advice.
That's Wild
life.
Bill?
The guy in the yellow, that's right, Gus. It's he runs with white.
He did not give you good advice. He didn't explain
no,
it right.
He did.
Gus way ahead.
He did. He just fell over.
Oh, he was like 2 kilometers that way.
I was having a lovely joke.
This is my local newspaper.
Birthday Kai, adventure almost catastrophic.
Kai survives Raging Bulls of Pamplona. This is how my mum found out.
A stand-up comedian from Blythe. Blythe got the got more than he bargained for when he celebrated his 30th birthday in Pamplona in the company of Stampede Bulls. Kai Humphries was a sixth man celebrating his landmark birthday in the festival's 7-day Spanish.
The controversial practice involves people running in front. Yeah, Kai, a former pupil at St. Bennet Biscop High School, stumbled as he fell, really just pussed out, and his legs got jelly.
You've never seen anyone look happier when I saw him.
It's always been on my bucket list, a total thrill seeker, but it's beyond a miracle that I didn't return home in a box. It was like one of those bad dreams that you were, wow.
Literal inches away from death.
So everyone had their cameras right there. Yeah, yeah. All these pictures.
That's where the action happens.
Footage of it on the news. Like when he said, when he was in that store and was like, "I saw myself on the news." They showed the footage of him being fucking run over.
Every night they're showing on the news. They're like, "Here are the highlights from today."
Oh yeah, right? Everyone wants to see themselves in the run.
Wow,
it made the news in Britain. Like it fucking was. I think I've still got a link to the footage.
But I
can put the footage on for you too.
Wow. Yeah.
So I can get them photos. I can get the footage.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. When you fall, you know it's like, oh, I'm supposed to ball up. But as you're falling, what's going through your head?
Man, it was so quick. It was so quick that I just accepted death, not in a fearful way, not in like, oh my god, I'm gonna die, but like, oh fuck, this is it.
Can I compare it to something and tell me if it's true or not?
Yeah.
You know when a lion is killing a gazelle?
Yeah.
And at first the gazelle kind of like kicks for a little bit, and then when the lion grabs their neck, they just kind of like stop and like, hey, it's your game, man, whatever you want.
Yeah. I tapped out.
Is it like that?
I tapped out of life, man. Wow. I was like, I'm dead now. And then I wasn't dead. And the happiness that came with it was like, fuck. So this is to put it in perspective. I lost my iPhone the day before that, right? I got pickpocketed in Pamplona. My iPhone was gone. I felt like that was a big deal, right? But the next day, I was like, I'm alive, man. I am alive to know that losing an iPhone's a thing. The knowledge of being able to lose an iPhone is enough for me to be happy.
Like, I've never seen anyone look more ecstatic than when I finally caught up with him. He was like, he had a glow on him.
I screamed, I bumped into Gus. Gus was the first person I bumped into. The guy in the yellow from the photo that I'm going to give you for the website.
Yeah.
That guy was the first person I saw that I knew, and I shouted yes in his face about 10 times.
And this is why you do it. This is why you do it.
For that kind of experience. Yeah. Don't do it.
I've got a perspective that I could never dream of having.
Yeah. Dude.
Were people
coming up to you on the street?
Every second of my life is borrowed time.
People like, oh, I saw you? Or no?
Yeah, I got a lot of attention afterwards.
I mean, I walked into Graham's house, the guy that organizes all the properties and everything, and he had a batch of newspapers, and he just held one up, like with Kai on the front page.
What did Wild Bill say?
Wild Bill styled it off, right? Wild Bill didn't just style it off. He went the next year and got gored through the hip.
Yeah.
So I think I got close. He got fucking skewered.
Yeah, he had to up the stakes. Yeah,
he got skewered. A proper full-on surgery the year after we did.
What?
Yeah, he's got a book out, actually, which is really good. I can't remember what it's called. I think it's called Mozos. Mozos. M-O-Z-O-S. It's on Amazon. Mozos.
Moses.
Mozos. M-O-Z-O-S. So, yeah.
Dude. What's the word? The word was said to each other beforehand. It's a Spanish word. Secoto. Sueto. So everyone would shake hands and say sueto. So would go shake my hand.
Yeah.
Suete. Suete.
What does that mean?
Suete. Good luck. Sweaty. Yeah. So everybody.
Everyone before the
It
thing,
was
right.
like Happy New Year. Happy
but,
New Year.
But you know what?
Sweaty. No, before.
Yeah, yeah. You need good luck. Yeah.
If he'd have died, that would have been on me. Because when I said to everybody, who's going to do Dead Man's Curve with me, I knew he was going to say yes. So that would have been.
You pushed him into something you knew he wasn't
No, I didn't push him in. I didn't need to. I knew he'd say yes. So it would have been on me.
Kai, did you make it to the arena?
The first day?
No.
The second day I fell? Man. I just made it to Gus and shouted yes in his face. The first day I made it to the arena, so I got to run around Estafeta because that's the last 100 metres. So we started 400 metres back. So to get the arena, like Milo played it right. Milo played the perfect card. He ran.
I feel like I played it perfectly, having had two nice runs
time,
near Bull. One point, got close to touching the Bull, experienced the full thing. At no point was my life fully endangered to the degree it was. I got into the arena both days.
I'll tell you when your life was in danger. We had a forfeit pink bandana for whoever said the wrong thing. So we had this, you know, you've got the red bandana, the red sash.
I guess so.
We had a pink version of that for whoever was the idiot of the group at the time.
Which is whistle worthy. Everyone's wearing red. If you wear pink, you look like you've been purposefully like
disrespectful. Disrespectful. Like, think about how macho this festival is, and you're showing up in a pink sash. Danny had had the pink sash and the pink neckerchief all the way from the airport all the way to Pamplona.
Like, even already people are pointing out, like, I'm not wearing red, I'm looking pink. I'm just like, this is, I'm being singled out as the whitest white boy with none of this, and then I've managed to get rid of it just before.
Yeah, but that was the closest you came to death.
Yeah. No, and it, even that was enough for me. I would look, I am glad I did it in the way of like a little bit of hindsight, a little bit like, oh, you know what, I did it, I'm alive now.
Yeah, you could say you ran,
but
you ran
fuck
it.
All of that ever again, never again.
I'm
never
doing it again. I'm going to say something. I've always said I'll never ever do it again, right? The only time I will ever do it again is if Ari Shaffir is there. I'd run it with you.
Really?
Yeah. I'd do that.
You would do it too?
I'd do that.
You can you can go fuck yourself. I will watch
I can,
you.
I will
read your obituary happily. Smoking.
Like I said.
All right. Why don't we do it next year? Why don't we do it next year?
Don't call me.
Okay, so it's July.
July.
It's July, normally about the 6th to the 14th. I'm saying right now, if you're doing it, I'm doing it.
Fuck you all.
Kai, are you in?
If Ari's in, I'm in.
Right. If you're in, I'm in as well.
July. 6 or 7.
It's just before the Edinburgh Festival. It's
so
a really
do that,
good.
Fuck around Europe for a while. Maybe go to the French.
But Ari,
and
you,
then come here.
You might get an ending for your show. Like this guy
I'd wrote my show. I'd been previewing my show up until mid July. It weren't going that well. And then I had the bull run in July, what, 12th?
About 12th, yeah.
July 12th. Done that bull run and managed to write my show between the 12th of July and August.
Oh, it was his ending. It was great.
I wrote the show in the last 2 weeks of July.
About this?
About the bull run. And got like fucking decent reviews and booked for Australia and did some good shit come off the fringe that year.
Should we do it next year?
Yeah, I'm up for it. I can get it totally sorted.
No.
But Daniel, 30,000 people do the festival.
No, Daniel,
can I wear like 30,000
people
handkerchief instead of a red one?
You can pretty much wear what you like.
You get whistled at though.
Yeah, you get whistled.
So Daniel, if you don't want to come, 30,000 people do the festival, 2,000 people do the run. You can be one of the 28,000 pussies if you want.
That's true.
No, I'm staying home. Fuck all that. I'll watch from the news. I'll hear the stories. I've done that festival.
See, I always
that chapter. I've done it.
There's no reason to go back. I would agree with that. There's no reason. You've done it.
I always said I won't go back now because I got kids. But
no fucking way.
If they die, I'm in.
If the kids die suddenly, mysteriously.
Yeah, but Daniel, you also don't want Milo to die because you're his youngest son's goddad.
He's the godfather.
He's the godfather. So if Milo dies at the bull run,
you've got some growing up to do.
You've got to raise a child.
Man, maybe we should do it next year.
I'm up for it. Seriously, I'll get it all hooked up.
That would be
not
a cool
fucking
experience.
Chance. I'll see you in August. You hope.
All right. Good podcast. That's crazy, man.
Oh, hang on. You haven't said the thing about the. So immediately after the run.
That's my favorite part of Edinburgh. Okay, fair enough.
Immediately after the run.
You fucking snitch. fucking
nobody
here.
Nobody will ever know.
Live on the fucking podcast.
All right, they just found out. So immediately after the run, you're all discombobulated. Your adrenaline levels are through the roof. I go to buy a sandwich after the first run. Yeah. Right, I go into this bar.
Oh, you're just celebrating Kai's death.
Huh?
Celebrating
the first run. Yeah. So I go to buy a sandwich. There's a guy covered in like wine. He's got the normal Pamplona uniform, white t-shirt, white trousers, red sash, red neckerchief. But he also has some sunglasses and a police hat. So I'm going in to buy a sandwich, and he stops me and goes, pasaporte.
Pasa what?
Pasaporte. As a joke.
Oh, give me a passport to...
Yeah, and it's a joke. The guy is a fucking drunk with a police hat and some sunglasses on. So he's just going, pasaporte, as a joke. I then go, I just want to buy a sandwich. Right, and this guy's like 4'7", and he looks at me like, what the fuck? And he's got about 8 mates with him. They start laughing. And I had that come back at me, the fact that I'd believed that was a policeman for about a year and a half.
Yeah, that wasn't the best part of the run.
What a terrible way to end it on.
You can edit that bit out, can't you?
Sandwich shit.
Oh, hold on. The best part of the joke, the run, was an in joke. He had to be there.
Ah, you didn't. I think I... No. Maybe.
Yeah, we'll edit that out.
Edit that out.
All right. I'm not going to. I'm going to let you sit on it.
Oh,
tell
fuck
me,
you.
Tell me where people can find you guys.
Flossy,
you got to get
out
of here.
On Twitter and Facebook, Daniel Sloss.
Daniel Sloss on Facebook and Twitter.
Twitter, all that shit, yeah.
Daniel Sloss.
Yes. Yes.
Sloss. Daniel Sloss.
Milo McCabe.
Hold on. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Milo, where are you?
I'm at Milo Comedy on Twitter.
At Milo Comedy, yeah. M-I-L-O Comedy.
At Twitter. Kai Humphries.
Kai Humphries, the fucking fallen warrior.
Kilo Alpha, India, hotel.
Will you edit that? Will you edit my shit story out?
K-A-I, what?
Will you edit my shit story out?
What is it? K-A-I. No, I will not edit.
Why?
No, because we want to do the fucking Twitter plugs.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Kai... At Kai Humphries.
You're going to send me all those videos, all the footage.
Yeah, I've got one video and I've got about 12 photos.
Dude, my favorite one was the one of the cop pointing at you. Like, yeah. Oh my God, he's about to get killed. There's this cop pointing at him, like on the side, up on a rafter, going, no! Like pointing right at you.
Yeah, like that guy's dead. Guys, look, you're about to witness something.
A cop looking to a woman or something?
Yeah.
Going, no!
Yeah. He should have died. I don't know what happened.
How do you spell Humphries?
H-A-H-U-M-P-H-R Indigo Echo Sierra.
R-I-E-S.
I can't do vowels because I got this northern English accent that all vowels sound the same.
I didn't know. Fuck. Well, fucking great.
You picked
great
a good
job.
Time to do this podcast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we tried to do it today. Obviously, it wasn't happening. It was my fault for giving you guys acid at 2 a.m.
Fuck, dude. That was thank
me.
You.
That was
thank
on
you
me.
So much.
That was on me. That was a fun trip, though, right?
Yeah. I had the fucking best time, Ari.
Me too.
I had a ride.
When you guys left, I was like, why are they all gone? But then when I went to the Meadows and that golf course, I was like, oh, this is great. Hope they're okay. You called me. I felt it, Kai, from my pocket. I tried to get it out, but it was already gone.
Shit.
And then I called you back.
Man, your answer phone message. In your answer phone message?
Yeah.
You asked me a question like I was listening. Like it was an answer phone message. You were like, oh, I'm at the golf course, I've been walking around, and where are you guys? Oh shit, it's an answer phone message. And then hung up.
I found a tree stump and I was like, this is a seat, I don't think I'll look weird here, I think I'll look like I'm just a morning person, like starting their day off, not like ending their day.
Yeah, you know? Just
like I'm good here,
just
walking
a dog walker.
Yeah,
without
exactly.
A dog.
Just stopping and looking at the sunrise, man. I'm just a normal regular person going to his job. That's what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
It was good acid, though.
Yeah, oh, man. You were like, oh, this is some light shit. Yeah. You're going to be a gentleman, man. Holy shit, I went to the fucking stars and back.
I like when I saw you, because I was like, oh, who's going to do the acid when I took it out? DeRosa said no. Cody said no. Milan, of course, said no. He's only a boozer. But then I was like, hey, you doing acid? And you're like, I'm going to Late and Live. I was like, well, it's going to take 45 minutes to kick in. How long do you go on? You're like, an hour. I'm like, yeah, all right. Come back when you're done. And you did.
Yeah, like I said, we've discussed this. I don't say no to much.
You sure don't. Kai Humphries fucking goes for it. All right. Fucking great job, you guys. Nice. Thank you very much.
It's a wrap.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ari.
Hell yeah.
Hello.
Anything else? You guys have to promote dates or anything? Do you have to promote any dates or anything?
Me and Daniel Sloss, who was also on the podcast, are doing a fucking 50-day tour through Europe. Really? We're going everywhere from Reykjavik to Zagreb, everywhere in between. We're going to Transylvania.
You going to Reykjavik?
We're going to Reykjavik, Iceland.
Yeah, too.
Man, we're going like, there's 21 countries, one of them being the British Isles. We're going to do, like, about 25 dates in Britain and about 21 dates in Europe. Get on danielsloss.com, kaihumphries.com. You'll be able to find the tours. I mean, we're not coming to America anytime soon, but if anyone's listening from Europe,
right.
We're coming near you. Get amongst.
Hell yeah. Go to danielsloss.com, find those dates. If both of you are good doing it.
Yeah, both of us. We'll check it out.
All right, cool. Hell yeah. All right.
In Pamplona, I will phone you and tell you that I'm in Pamplona. In Pamplona, I will phone you and tell you that I'm not a coward.
zoo. That's the episode, you guys. Did you enjoy it? What fun. Oh, what fun it is to play. Where's Ari? I love when I can call these guys. So I'm late. I'll admit it. I'll be the first to admit it because no one else is here. Oh, we saw Brian Wilson yesterday. Well, hold on. So he said 7 o'clock a.m. tomorrow. Let's meet at 7. All right. Set my alarm for first 6:15. Maybe I'll get up, get some breakfast. No. Change that. 6:45. Why risk it? You know, I'll get something on the way. I can get bread. In Edinburgh, the whole time, my main meal was just bread. Just straight, nothing on it, bread from a fucking Sainsbury's. And then walk. So, 7 o'clock. Sure, okay. So, at 7:01, I texted him, like, hey, almost ready. Just had to, like, put pants on and, you know, put my clothes on and get down there. He calls back at 7:07. Hey, buddy, like, as I'm going down the steps, let's do 8. How about 8? You want me to pick you up at 8 in the lobby? Fucking comics, guys. Of course you overslept. But it's 8 o'clock right now. He got me tickets to see Brian Wilson yesterday of the Beach Boys in Reykjavik. They have this opera house that is fucking stupendous. I'm conflicted about this Brian Wilson thing. So he's old. I don't know what he is. Late 70s, early 80s. He's tried to commit suicide. He's had multiple overdoses. Nobody thought he'd be the one Beach Boy to last. I mean, it was fun. On one hand, it was fun seeing those old hits, you know? He played Pet Sounds. He played a few songs first. Then he played the whole Pet Sounds album, which was a great album. And then, like, an underrated, amazing album. And then it wasn't like a regular Beach Boy sound. It was artsy and kind of dark. But still maintaining their sound. Anyway, and then he played some of the hits, you know, Surfing USA. I cried at Surfing USA. I don't know why. It reminded me of, like, you know, stuff I listened to when I was little, I guess. So on one hand, that was really nice just to hear those old songs, even though it's just like him and like one other member of the band and then like that guy's son doing the other high notes. But on the other hand, it's like, you know, when I watch performers, I end up thinking about how I perform myself, and I just don't want to get to the place where I'm doing the hits. You know, where I'm playing. That's why I like Arcade Fire. They're not going to, they're doing whatever album they're doing. When I went to see Radiohead, I had trouble with it because the first hour and a half, it wasn't a single song from the first four albums, not one. And that's the ones that I knew, the Bends, OK Computer, Karma Police, Kid A. That's when I was into Radiohead. I didn't hear one of those. You know, I wanted Fake Plastic Trees. Can't get that. And then of the next hour, that was an hour and a half. The next hour, they've been four songs that I knew. And they ended with Creep. They're playing Creep on this tour. And it was great. I mean, to see all those people, some of whom didn't stay. Some of those guys didn't stay. So my friend's like, yeah, it was pretty good. We left, you know, most of the way through. I was like, oh, you missed Creep, man. You missed everybody singing together. Fuck, tremendous. But while that was, like, unsettling to not hear the fucking hits I wanted to hear, I get it. They're a band that keeps going. They have a giant catalog. They have a giant catalog of music. It's fucking beautiful out here. They have a giant catalog of music. And why are they playing songs that they sang 20 years ago? They wrote 20 years ago. They don't want to do it. They want to do the songs they're doing now. So that's, I guess, the kind of guy I want to be. But at the same time, I don't want to... I don't know. I'm conflicted. I really am conflicted. I get playing the hits. But I get also how that's lame. How it's like, then you're like done as a band. Well, here we are trotting out some old band members to play the same shit. I don't know. At points, I was sad for Brian Wilson when he's yawning up front in the beginning. And at points, I was crying because of how nice it was to hear those old Beach Boys songs. I don't know. But the opera house in Reykjavik was fucking amazing. It's all glass, so you look out into the harbor. You can see the whole harbor from pretty much every angle. Like, you're not in the showroom, but everywhere else. All right, you guys. Well, that was a fun episode, right? Don't forget to support Sloss and Milo McCabe and... is that all right? Nope. And Kai Humphries, especially Kai Humphries, by going to patreon.com/7 F like Frank Z BB like boy boy. Indie.com/7FZBB. Yeah, vote for me and share his clip. It's 2 minutes long. It's not very long. Be cool if he gets to play the Laugh Factory. He's going to get to come to LA if he goes. Play the Laugh Factory and I'll get him into the Comedy Store. What fun. Do you think I should go? Maybe I'll go to fucking Pamplona and do that. He almost got killed, though. I mean, but going by my theories of life, you can't use this as a reason to show how dangerous it is if nothing happened to him. It's like saying, oh, this guy almost fucked up on mushrooms and that'll prove that mushrooms are bad. No, almost means didn't fuck up. I don't know. It seems fun, though. I mean, I would do what Sloss did. I think I would do what Sloss did. Just go way, way ahead, run, get in there. Get in there pretty early, you know, get like a steak and some fries, wait for those fucking dehorned bulls to come in and fucking toss everybody around. Run the fuck away from them. I'll get jeers from people. Oh, you're here too early. Yeah, that's right. That's right. You guys are in the stands. How about that? You're in the fucking stands. At least I fucking ran. At least I did something athletic today. Maybe there was no danger, but I'm wearing my fucking red sash. And white pants and white shirt. Such a stupid outfit. Such a stupid outfit. I got this plan today for my show in Iceland, in Reykjavik. I'm going to do that fucking Viking clap. I'm taking an intermission in between these shows because I'm doing too long and they're used to 1 hour long shows. There's Ari. I'm used to 1 hour long shows. Yep, he sees me. And so I'm going to do that Viking clap at the end of the intermission. Where'd he go? Yep. Ari! Does not hear me. Yeah, I'm going to do that Viking clap and see if I can get the whole crowd coming. I'm gonna have to look at how the guy in the fucking soccer team did it. But I'm going to just go out there. Real slow, like, please welcome back Ari Shaffir. I've been taking this intermission. It's not bad. It's pretty cool. And it goes with what I'm going to, like, this concept. Like 45 minutes into my act. And so then when I come back, please welcome Ari Shaffir. Clapping. I'm just going to stay there quietly, silently. Slowly get to the mic. I got to slow it down. I got to make sure to slow it down. Stand there silently. Wait till everything dies down. And then just... Oh, even slower. See if I can get everybody to do it. 0.1% of the entire population of Iceland doing that fucking clap. Woo-hoo. I can't wait. I'm most excited about that. For sure, I'm most excited about that. All right, you guys. Oh, and go get the fuzzle.com, F-U-Z-Z-L-E, for your fucking small asshole dogs. If you got an asshole dog, but he's cute, they're cute. Keep them cute. Keep those dogs cute. Don't make babies afraid of them. Make babies want to pet them. They can't bite. They've got the muzzle on. Excuse me, the fuzzle on. All right, you guys. Thank you very much for tuning in. For Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank. By the way, I do not have any association with that Laughable app. I'm going to try to get some association with them because that's a fucking good app. All right. I'm Ari Shaffir saying so long for Milo McCabe, Daniel Sloss, and Kai Humphries. Do you get it now? The quote-unquote running of the bulls because he didn't really run? What would happen if you got like jelly leg like that? What would happen? Oh, I can't imagine falling down and then just a feeling of like, oh, fuck, those bulls are on me. Dude, nobody went harder than Kai in Edinburgh this year. I mean, that guy goes so hard. Nobody goes harder than him. I could totally imagine him hungover, going like, hey, you're going to do it like right on the fucking death spot? Yeah, okay, man. Yeah, okay. I can't do the accent. Yeah, okay. Let's do it. No question. And then just reality catches up. Oh, yeah, I've got no training for this. Goodbye. All right. Honestly, I'm leaving now and I'm going to fucking go on this tour of Iceland. But if I can find fucking four songs that relate to the running of the bulls in Pamplona, I will be shocked and impressed with myself. So that's it, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to buy tickets to Chicago, Zany's in downtown and in Rosemont. I don't know why tickets aren't selling that well there, but fucking get some. Tell some friends. Chicago, it's a massive city. I should be selling out there. I'm selling out in fucking Iceland and Norway. You kidding me? All right. Bye. Thank you. Bye. Maybe next week, Henry Rollins. Maybe. Maybe the week after. I don't know. Maybe this Iceland. I don't know. All right, bye. We're rallying around our family with a pocket full of shell. Weapons, not food, not home, not shoes, not need. Just feed the war cannibal animal. I walk the corner to the rubble. That used to be a library line. I cut a mine cemetery now. What we don't know keeps a contract alive and move them. They don't gotta burn the book, they just remove them. While arms, warehouses, village crackers are sell. Rally round the family, pockets full of shell. Rally round the family, with a pocket full of shell. They rally out the family with a pocket full of shells. They rally round the family with a pocket full of shells. They rally round the family with a pocket full of shells. I'm not going to do that.